Welcome, everybody. An interesting guest today, a specialist in cycles. That's right, cycles and how things come around, and not only in cycles in an ordinary sense, but Charles actually assesses from his early involvement in AI, some 30 years ago, he actually assesses that in terms of the retail understanding, it hasn't moved very much, and that the institutions are really, really got a tactical weapon. So Charles Nenna of the Research Center and Cycles Analysis, welcome to our show, Charles. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
So tell us a little bit, let's get into the weeds of this. Retail traders, as you say, they still talk about things like overbought, oversold. Why are they sleeping on this hidden gem? And what is it that cycles, and in terms of how you've been able to implement it, what is the greater benefit? You went so far as to say virtually to days and times when moves may be potentially likely to move again. Give us a little bit more detail.
We have intraday service that gives the exact hour. Now, let me give you an idea why cycles work. Let's say you own IBM at $100, doesn't matter. It goes to $150 in a year. And IBM comes out with a great number.
Yeah.
That's great result. So the question is, what does IBM go up or down? Well, this depends on the cycle.
Yeah.
If the cycle is positive, IBM goes up and the Wall Street Journal will write next day, people poured into IBM because they're doing great.
Yeah.
But now it's a cycle down, but the numbers are still great. So what are they going to write? So they write IBM did great, but people took profit because they don't think IBM will do better next year. Which means is for the retail investor, even if you know the news, it doesn't still help you because you still don't know what the stock is going to do.
Yeah.
So all these books and media and what are people watching, usually it's after the fact to always explain why it happened. But even if you know what's going to happen, you still don't know what the end result is going to be. So what we found is, and I'm a medical doctor and I study psychiatry, so I went into mass behavior. And I found that the periods of people are positive and they were negative. So the news is the same, but depends how the market reacts. The fact we can say the Fed is not going to do anything. And even if they don't do anything or do something, just the idea that they don't do anything influences the market already. So now we just have to build a neural network, which I did years ago, that predicts what the mass psychology is at a certain moment. And now, if the Dow Jones, as an example, goes up, then you know how many weeks, how many months, how many hours it goes up until the mood changes. And that the computer can calculate. That's the first thing. The second thing is, maybe you remember from school that if you shoot a bullet in the air, then you can calculate. I mean, I wasn't good at it, but you're supposed to calculate how high it goes, how far it goes, and then it comes down. The same thing with financial markets. It goes up with a certain momentum and it stops and you can calculate what the price target is. Now, usually there is an item, a news item that comes together. That's why people never get it, but it's not new, the news item. So what we do is we can say about the stock to buy it, how many months, how many weeks it goes up and how many points it goes up. And you can only work with this if you can accept that things don't move at random. Think anything could happen, then nobody can predict anything.
Yeah.
So that's more or less what we've done for the last 30 years. I did this for Goldman Sachs. I supported the prop trading, which means the only investment of Goldman Sachs until in 2007-2008. Obama said, this is too dangerous. You have to stop it, guys. So I left with some partners and I started my own firm. The partners left, they started their own hedge funds, and now I'm the only one that is running the firm.
Right. Okay, fascinating. So certainly some big bank experience, and as well as running a research center that seems to be utilized by the hedge funds. And now, if I understand, you have a free trial, which we'll go into at the end as well, for retail people actually to have a 30-day experience. So talk to us about potentially, what does your research, what kind of predictions is it generating now? I mean, everybody listening to that will say, great, let's see how you do. What's coming for us? Any interesting?
Well, first of all, we have a track record that on the website, everybody can see it. And like last year was a difficult year. We made over 100%. We made 250% of the Bitcoin. It shows every trade we did up and down. So everything is there. Now I forgot your question. Oh, yeah. One of the things.
Oh, that's right. What's coming here?
So what did we do? We went out of bonds exactly at the high because cycle top. And we warned people, don't think because there was a bull market of 40 years that it's never going to go down. And don't think that if you have a bond that gives you 1%, then you're going to be happy in a couple of years because it's not going to continue like that. So when we have been in zero bonds and short bonds, now we come to a point by the end of June, July, that for the first time, we're going to buy the long bond, the 30-year bond, the 10-year bond, we're going to buy it back. That's an interesting thing. The second thing is we're trading up and down gold and silver. But finally, after the summer, the cycles are in sync, and then the bull market should continue. That's an interesting thing to watch.
So that, before you make any more, let's just discuss those a little bit. So in essence, for those that are watching retail, that points to a pivot in policy or certainly a cessation of increases. I saw the Daily Shot don't expect a Fed increase in June. So that already is a deceleration of the increase, even though it's not a cut. And that you're forecasting could lead to a pivot, what's popularly known as the Fed pivot, the monetary policy pivot by the Federal Reserve. It could maybe lead to some cuts that could see some money coming back into the debt markets. Is that correct?
Well, I don't like to make interpretations between market or everything separate. And on my cycles, the Fed funds will continue up until the end of next year.
Okay. So actually, we bullish yields, the Fed rates.
Yeah. But anything can happen. Let's say if there's going to be a huge war, and it may be interesting to mention that I have war cycles. The war cycles go back 3,000 years. I started at the Mandarin Empire. And I've been a lot on television saying the second decade of a new century always has huge wars, which is now coming through. 100 years ago was the First World War. 200 years ago was the Napoleon. 100 years before was called the Habsburg. I mean, I'm European, I don't know more about it. And if you guys want to check it, you put on Google major war around this change of the century, and you see for the last 1,000 years, it works like clockwork. Now, I can't explain why that is. So we're in the middle of war cycle. So if things turn out to be explosive, that could be a reason why bonds go up and why gold goes up. So we cannot only say it has to do with the Fed. It would be other reasons triggering it.
Yes, of course. There's many reasons. We could actually have a stock market collapse and everybody rushes into bonds as defense as well. Okay, excellent. So the gold is interesting. So a pause, a benign period, neither strongly up or down for the summer, which is typical also with the Northern Hemisphere, that, you know, the go away in May, come back in St. Leger's Day, sort of September. We're going to miss the middle when all the hedges are taking holidays and the bankers are away. But when they get back to for the run into winter at the back end of summer, say end of August into September, you think the gold market and the silver market will start to reassert to the upside as well?
Yeah, but now I want to mention something interesting, because the big thing we talk about is recession, no recession, because it teaches us, and you can calculate if recession, corporate profits will go down 20%, which is not good for the market. And I wonder why people are talking going to have a recession or not. So I will tell you what my work shows. From 1970, every time there's an inverted yield curve, which means it's the 2 year is higher in rates than the 10 year.
Yeah.
People talk, oh, this is not good, this is going to recession. The interesting thing is that doesn't lead to recession. You know, when you have a recession,
when it reverts back. Then, leading
100% of the cases since 1970 have a recession. And all these people who talk, today I heard my colleague from Goldman Sachs as well, I thought there was 35% chance of recession, I think it's 25% of recession. It seems they don't do hysterical war. They look at the history because this has been working for 100 years. Yeah. So it's very interesting. So we are very convinced that we're going to have this recession. It's going to be bad for profits. And people are going to lose money again in the stock market.
Yeah. Yeah, very much hardship. There's more hardship than people realize already, I would imagine, and it's going to get worse. We're very much aligned with that. And the inverted yield curve is an excellent leading indicator. And as you say, the drama comes on the return of
the return.
That's right. We could continue to invert for a while and even go lower.
But the administration only starts to go above zero.
Correct, on the back leg. That's right. And that's an interesting point. And your favorite of the rates is the 10 and 2, is it? Because the Fed has their own, I think they like the 6 month, or is that their favorite one? I'm not too sure. It's the 2 year.
It is because there's so much history on the 10 and 2 years. And in order to build cycles, I need at least 10, 20 years of data.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, perfect. So I think it's a very good benchmark, 10 and 2. So, what's your comment, though? Because theoretically, in terms of two negative quarters, we're already in a recession. They've recategorized the definition for a recession that's involved a labor market element now as well. How are you going to determine that? Or are we just going to read it in the headlines?
I can't determine. I have people working for me. I don't even know if they're a woman or a man. Nobody knows anything anymore. So don't ask me these things.
Yes, the definitions have become very fluid, haven't they? Like many other things that are very interesting on that area.
Like what the United States, and I'm a Dutch citizen, so I don't have a political party. But if you don't like the votes that come out, you just change the voters. So you open the borders and you bring in other voters. It's a whole new world these days. So we don't really know how things are going to work out, but things are changing every day.
Yeah. So immigrants are told, you're being let in, but remember, vote Democrat. We're letting you in. Don't you ever forget that. Interesting, yes, conceptually, I believe, and I'm pretty sure.
There's a big problem because I have a place in Miami also. I'm very close to the South American official community, and they don't like all these people coming because they're not the best people. I have to be careful what I say, but if you have a business and you have a family, why would you pick up yourself and try to be illegally going to another place? So it starts to be a big problem. But based on cycles, United States is like almost finished. Based on cycles, the parts that is Australia, India, Singapore over there is going to take over. China, Europe is going to stay in the middle, and United States, but I'm surprised how fast they succeed in destroying United States. It's amazing.
It's a shocking rate. I was referring to Bidenomics with the seizure of the Russian funds, which then undermines the dollar immensely as a seminal event. So the financial weaponization, instead of being agnostic as a payments rate, rails and gateway system, was a seminal moment of undermining, did more damage to America. And then, of course, the Afghanistan, which is the might of the military, that is the final bastion of you still have to respect us, that pullout of Afghanistan with all the people running behind the planes and being left behind. I found that those
two events. Since the Second World War, the United States has been in 20 conflicts and they lost all of the conflicts.
That's right. Yeah.
So and they don't understand it. So if I will be Putin and says, why don't you move 100 miles from the Mexican border in the United States, and let's see if they say Mexico has the free choice to bring all the rockets over there, because it says Ukraine can do whatever they want. And I'm sure the United States doesn't allow it. So I'm European. We look at it totally different. It's the expansion with NATO, and it doesn't come in a vacuum. And the Russians have been to terrible times, from the Russian Revolution to the Second World War to Afghanistan. And we cannot understand that they're really buried. You get so close to the border. So it's a misunderstanding of the whole historical context. And I'm afraid it's going to be very explosive.
Give us a little bit of the mechanics of your cycle system, Charles. How's it built on? Of course, extensive data back history, so you want as much as you can get. That's the nature of statistics. What's the algorithm? What's it broadly doing? Is it plotting highs, trying to find a relationship? How functionally, without having to give lines of code, what's the thought process that's going through?
Well, it looks at the analytic, it only looks at price. So you look at the price of an S&P, and then it finds every couple of weeks, every couple of months, how many months it goes up, how many months it goes down. So that's simple. The problem comes when the weekly goes up and down against the monthly or the yearly, and then even if the daily goes against it. So then the program comes with the end result. So the program say the monthly cycle is up, the weekly cycle is going horizontal, the daily cycle is down, and what's the end result?
Okay, so it's
since it takes out emotions, if you could be a person without emotions, then you would see much more what's going on in the world, and that's what computers can do.
And the funds, you mentioned some really good performance. I think you mentioned Bitcoin, but you also mentioned more traditional markets. How have they done, and how many years have they done that? You've got a great track record. What will people see if they visit that?
Well, they see that we make like 100% a year on the NASDAQ. It gives exactly the entry points and exit points. So last year, we were over 100 points. We did the Bitcoin 250 points. We traded the gold up and down because I think 60%. I think we made a couple of 100% going short on natural gas. I don't really have it, but it's all there. You can look it up, which futures you trade and what you like. You can see exactly what the trades are. I don't think maybe there's a losing trade, but I don't remember for years. So it works pretty well. And what I would like people to see is, especially talk about people who are not big investors, you can have 30 days for free, and you don't have to sign up, but at least learn from what the real big investors look at. They don't look at corporate results or if the kitchen is clean in a company or what they're selling. They look at much different things. And at least, you know, it's much better than watching the CNBCs or the Bloombergs or whatever, because it doesn't really help you.
Yeah, it's better than the Jim Cramer index. So the lunar cycles, have you done anything which looks at how markets perform regarding...
No, if you go to my website, you see research on the sunspot intensity.
Sunspots, yeah.
So the sunspots have an intensity, and they create a graphic field, gravity field on the Earth. And that field has to do with crystallization of water. I don't make it too complicated. Our brains are 80% of water.
Yeah.
The way the crystallization in our brains of water is makes us look positive or negative. So there is a physical component to all these cycles.
That's fascinating. So
if you go to the, for instance, to the NASA, their website, and they predict for the next couple of weeks what intensity of the sunspots is, then you will see that it correlates very much with what the financial markets do.
And high sunspot activity is actually bearish, isn't it? It's 1987 was apparently a pretty high sunspot when it crashed, I recall.
It crashed because after that it came down. It's a complicated issue. If you Google Charles Nenner sunspots, you see all the research I did.
Right.
We also have it on the website, so you can read about it. So there is really a basis to the cycles. Interesting, you mentioned lunar cycles. I told you I'm a medical doctor. So what we know is that women give early birth when it's full moon. And nobody knows why, but you better have your staff there because you have an influx of women. So we know all kinds of things you don't know. Now, the difference between economists and somebody like me who was a medical doctor is the following thing, because there used to be Abby Cohen, maybe you remember the name, in Goldman Sachs, and I've met in many discussions with her, and she wants to understand everything, otherwise she doesn't use it. and I'm a medical doctor, and if I know the red pill works, I give you the red pill, even if I don't understand how it is. So there are a lot of things that they use that I don't really can explain, but they work. And economists don't use it because they don't understand it, and they're missing out.
Yeah. Sometimes these relationships, you just know. It's kind of the intuitive wisdom, but the science takes a while to catch up and explain the reason why. That's fascinating. So we've got a reasonable outlook. Is there something on currencies that you have for us? And what about cryptos? What's the cycle's outlook for currencies? Are there any particular weak currencies of the majors? Any particular dollar outlook? Because if gold's going to be badly strong.
Well, remember now is the dollar is going to hang around for a week or so, and then it continues up. Because why weak? Because the daily cycle is down and the weekly cycle is up. So the moment the daily cycle bottoms, then the daily and the weekly is up. And I remember that the short-term cycle on Bitcoin is still down, I think for a week or 2 weeks or so. And the weekly is also down. So for the moment, there's not much to do in Bitcoin. I mean, there's to do if you can go. It is difficult to go short Bitcoin. I don't know how to do it. Most people don't know how to do it. If you do it through futures, they have 100% margin requirements, so nobody actually can do that. But for the moment, there's not much to do in cryptos.
Yeah, so benign softening with the kind of counter to the dollar, because we treat these as fiat versus anti-fiat. Gold and Bitcoin are in that.
Yeah, but again, if people will take the 30 years trial, they will see exactly on Sunday, I sent out the cycles. What I see in a computer, so they don't take my word for it. I show them exactly what the computer calculates. You see the Bitcoin, and below the Bitcoin, you see the cycles, and you see the date of the bottom and the date of the top. Now, it can make it easier like that, right? So that's what it is. So I remember Bitcoin is down for the moment, and I don't really have it in my head when the bottom is there.
Yeah, no, that's fine. What other asset categories are we on? Because I'm assessing that retail, well, let's just say commercial property. Let's start at the most vulnerable. U.S. commercial property in urban areas, say New York and San Francisco, seems to be an absolute bad idea. Cyclically, do you get much on real estate that you can share, whether commercial or residential?
Well, there is an 18-year cycle of real estate, and that actually tops next year. But we could be early because of this virus situation. Everybody working from home now and not going back. The commercials are really, really in big trouble. And they will take the housing market with it. But it will take until next year until you really see it coming down strongly.
Fascinating. So actually, the earliest warnings on commercial, but potentially, and how long will the down cycle be? Do you get a feel for it? Because you referred to an end of an 18-year bull cycle, which has come out of, I assume, 08. The lows was 08, 09. So we're kind of 20 years, we're not quite 20 years, we're 15 years. So we're a bit early for the bull, the end, but we're getting there. We're 15 years.
Now I have to say something that will make you sleepless at night.
Yes.
The cycles that topped in 1929, they all topped at the same moment. They do it again in 1927, which means it's a 1929 crash. You're going to write it down, but have a 1927. So it's a good question what he asked me, but I think we're just going to hang around until the whole thing collapses in 1927. And then we're really in for a long, long period, maybe worse, who knows what's going to happen. But just people should write down 2027. That's when you have a crash that is like 1929.
Yeah. So the 1929 global depression potential prediction for 2027. I like the black pill stuff. I'm comfortable with it. We know we overdue it, I think, personally. I wish it would happen and we get done with it almost. I almost want it to come because it's almost a cleansing process. So it's going to be pretty destructive during 2027 in your view. A lot of
I want to say something very simple, because people should not think there's nothing you can do. My example always is, after the summer comes the winter. Summer, winter, you can't change it. But if you know it, you can buy a winter coat. So yeah, if you have the knowledge, if you have the knowledge, you can do something about it. Now, already I have institutions and governments I work with that there's a situation, for instance, Switzerland. I think they call them Gold Switzerland. They're there for 100 years. You transfer money, they buy gold for you and they store it for you. That's what big institutions are doing. The smaller people, I personally told them, don't leave it in that company. Go to Switzerland and get your own locker, because maybe they can confiscate it one time. Who knows what the world's in trouble. So don't leave it there. Get your own place, your own safe, and put it there. But that's really what's going on under the surface. And what happens is, why is the gold not taking up? A lot of people don't know that, because it seems that the U.S. government is short gold. Maybe you know that a couple of years already, European market says, give me back my gold. They want it back from the United States. Yeah. And nobody understands why they want it back, because they want to know if they really have the gold. So they continue to suppress the gold price, because they still have to cover the shorts, because they don't have enough gold. So there's a lot going on the surface, which the average people don't know. I will give you one example, what you don't know. You know about Credit Suisse, right?
Yep.
You know Credit Suisse went like in bankruptcy. The question is, do you know why they went into bankruptcy? Not because they had non-performing situations. They went into bankruptcy because they had some U.S. clients and the U.S. was going to sue them. And they made a calculation that the fines are much more than going to bankruptcy and starting all over again.
Oh, interesting.
You don't hear, I hear there's so many institutions that I work with. So there's a lot going on under the surface that influences the financial markets, but you don't hear anything about it.
Well, I remember when Germany asked for their gold back and they said, well, we need 7 years to give it to you.
Yeah.
And the Dutch...
I never understood why they wanted the gold until I wrote this story. They don't trust that gold is anymore in the United States.
Yeah, yeah. And as a result, they were selling it price down so that they could physically acquire it at a lower price. And I've just got off an interview where someone was saying, but why hasn't gold done so much more with all of this debt proliferation? And I was also suggesting to them that there's a situation, I don't know what you think of this as a theory, but you have semi-hostile situations with China, who are big holders of treasuries, U.S. treasuries, and essentially they could disorderly sell these treasuries. So the only way, they could destroy the debt market. So they are cooperating, and the compensation for holding and not destroying the debt market with all of this $1 trillion plus of U.S. debt is the American keeping the gold discount window down. So China is getting cheap gold in lieu and compensation for cooperating.
Yeah, it's almost over, because I got very big clients in cotton, for instance, in Brazil. So I watched the real, and the real is up 25%. Well, the president Lula actually is almost a communist. You know why? Because they're preparing for the BRIC currency. And when the BRIC currency is ready, then the dollar's in trouble, and then they're going to sell all the U.S. bonds. And then the whole thing collapses.
So you think the real is climbing? Because the interesting is part, the corollary to that is the South African rand is, for its own reasons, doing quite poorly. It almost hit 20 to the dollar. I think it's pulling back now. But it's also the most junior of the partners in there. So why would the rand not be going up, in your opinion, if all the major first round BRICS nations...
connected to the gold price. So, you know, I have been 20 years ago in Argentina, and my friends who never had money, they changed it to rands because they didn't know what happened in Argentina. So the rent can only go up if the gold price goes up, because I think it's 90% gold and 95% gold.
Yeah, they are the biggest miners of platinum, and they used to be the biggest miner of gold, but by proportion to the economy, it's still one of their biggest outputs. I think that's certainly
the
biggest
now. Two groups comparing like in First World War, Second World War. We got China, North Korea, Russia, and Iran.
We had a bit of a... Say again, is the audio there? China...
Yeah, we got China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran. That's one group against United States.
Yeah.
And if there would be a war, the United States is going to be so much spread out, they can never do anything. They can't, you know, the times that they can be everywhere is over. And they start threatening, like nobody ever talked about Taiwan. They left it open what they think about Taiwan until Biden says, we're going to defend Taiwan. You must be kidding. And no, we know he's not going to defend Taiwan.
Yeah, there's no way. They were doing exercises with Japan, I watched with interest today, as if to maintain the facade that they would even be able to defend Japan. And I don't think they would be able to manage that, not effectively, if there was a... Not that Japan is the first place China would start, but it was just interesting. I don't think the Asia-Pac is anywhere that the Americans will be able to hold position strongly, particularly in lieu of Afghanistan's retreat, which was most disorderly. As I say, that was a shock.
The Netherlands just bought 10 tanks because they have no tanks left, in order to send to Ukraine. So you can imagine what the situation is in Western Europe.
Yeah, Western Europe militarily are deeply underprepared militarily. We're actually seeing a big run on the military industrial complex stocks at the moment, particularly the European ones. So British aerospace, you also get Northrop Grumman, Saab, et cetera, and they've all done unbelievably well. Cyclically, does the military industrial complex peak before a war? Or do they run up in advance, or do they run up in arrears, or do they coincide with your war cycles? Because essentially, you have
advance because I saw in China how that group was going through the roofs already 10 years ago. So you saw they were preparing already, but I mean the West is so much behind. It will take them many years to catch up.
And particularly on manpower, although robotics is moving fairly fast, but particularly on manpower compared to China, I think they have an unbelievable soldier count.
The robotics reminds me of Star Trek. Maybe you remember the old Star Trek?
Yes.
And it came to a planet that always had a fight with another planet. And they didn't want to really have a fight, so they agreed how many people would die. So they said, okay, you kill 2,000 of yours, we kill 1,000 of ours, and the war is over. So now we've got the robotics against the robots, so let's see what happens.
Yeah, it is, because it's not about human population anymore. What about human population on the globe? There's a lot of people that are of the view that we could be seeing an intent, or let's just say a conspiracy of seeking to reduce population due to climatic agendas or various other reasons. Where do you stand on population, and do we have a cycle? Because there's very negative demographics, obviously, in South Korea, Japan, and Europe has been negative for a while. What's cyclically?
Population is going down. But I don't agree with the climate, and they're going to kill me if I say something about the climate, but they should look at the cycles of climate. Nobody looks what the cycles look, if it's going to be higher temperature or lower temperature. And I don't publish it because you go against the mainstream, and I would like to have a quiet life, but I would invite people to do some cycle work on climate change.
Well, the ice cap on the North Pole has just expanded immensely by a number of tons and square area. So there is definitely data to the contrary. That's hard data to the contrary to the whole warming narrative. But they've kind of pivoted out of warming after they started to look foolish into just change, which is almost trying to bet on a sure thing. You know, surely each day will not be exactly the same as the other. So change is a safe bet. What are the areas? I mean, net wealth, assets, contractions, anything like that that dovetail with the 2027. I also got 2025 as a year that came out. It's the end of the era of Aquarius, and there's a lot of people that seem to these things matter. I'm not a
zodiac. That's not good because I'm Aquarius, so that's my end. What can I do?
Yes, good. So it's
I think the big revolution is going to be the digital currency, where the government can see what you do. So let's say you go to Spain on vacation, you want to go next year. They says you're not allowed. We don't like to spend another ticket because there's too much pollution. Or you want to have another Big Mac. They says no. You know, it makes people sick. The insurance goes up. You cannot have another Big Mac. It's 1984. It's what the George Orwell used to write, and exactly that's what's going to happen, because he wrote, they're going to destroy all the history, so nobody remembers anything anymore. You just have to believe the new politicians what the truth is and what the truth is not. And I advise people, you know, want to know what's going on today, just Orwell's 1984. You know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, it is too much like a manual instead of a piece of fiction. And 2025 is a lot of introductions of many of these things. A lot of them. There's an agenda 2025. There's an end of an era on the Zodiac. There's a lot of CBDC implementation that is planned for 2025. And then you go into your prediction of a global depression. I feel personally that we had a depression with 2007 and 8. It was just never acknowledged that right the way through. It took ages for that whole era to turn. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. These were all grim years. It was almost a grim decade, the teens. Did that register as a depression for you or just a great recession?
No, just but what they do is every Fed leader, president says, I know it's going to correct, but not in my lifetime. So they keep it going until they cannot keep it going anymore. And now it's out of hand, so they can't keep it going anymore. So the whole system is going to collapse.
What's the best preparation you would recommend for people in lieu of, you have all the cycles, you have what it's telling you. It's been reliable. You're getting phenomenal returns annually, it seems, especially if you've got a long history. I haven't gone through your track record, but anything that does 100% in a year is unbelievable, really strong, and especially if it does it consistently or close to regularly, it's very, very profitable. What do you think the best preparation should be for someone just listening to this as a retail investor?
Well, except of watching what we do is, I really think you should find, this thing in Switzerland is maybe too far from everybody's horizon, but start buying gold and silver coins.
Precious metals in lieu of the devaluation of currency. There's going to be a currency-based crisis that's globalized and debt. I 100% concur with that.
There's going to be a time that you go to the baker with a coin.
Yeah, or silver coin. Otherwise, you're carrying bales of notes in wheelbarrows.
Like, you just should know that in after the 1929 crash, it took many, many years until the government paid back the treasury bills.
Yeah.
They simply have them. I think it looked at 10 years. So you can have these papers, but you're not going to get the money.
Yeah.
So you really have to make a plan how to survive this. It's like, People, United States asked me how to make money. I said, I'm Dutch. We want to know how not to lose money. It's a different attitude. So now it's really time not to lose money. Be very careful.
We talk about that as well. We say it's the capital preservation era. You've had the search for yield for 40 years now. You now need to realize it's capital preservation. This is money management. It's not losing. 100%. And so is it inflation or deflation or both? And then Bert's any view, how do you put that forward? Because it's very contractionary, but the interest rates, the spiking interest rates, obviously very inflationary. How do you paraphrase that?
Well, the inflation stuff, you can see it, and it went to 8.5%. That was what we had. Then the cycle went down, and I think in 4 or 5 weeks, the cycle is up again. So in a month or 2 months, the inflation continues up again.
So that actually, again, we think bonds, personally, I would never go back into debt markets on the long side. So I'd rather stay out and just going metals, precious metals. But from what you're saying, actually, debt could start, may have a respite, but in time, rates are going higher.
In time, you know, there's a 60-year cycle, and we bottomed, and for the next 30 years, we're going to have higher rates. But still, based on my cycles, it's worthwhile, at least for half a year, to go into long-term bonds once the cycle bottom is there in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, okay. So there's a trade in there.
Yeah, a real serious trade, not from day to day, but a bit longer-term trade. You can see it on Sunday's update when I show the cycle. And we're just waiting for the low, still a couple of weeks away. And that's a nice trade.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Any other major macro events that are of passing interest that you would bring to people's eye that could be a point of interest and have them come over and look at your stuff? Anything else that's popping for you? I mean, I'm very comfortable with the black pill stuff. I don't get morbid. We've had an excess period of great excess, a great proliferation. You've had the good time. You know, it's a bit like expecting your liver to be strong after you've drunk three bottles of whiskey. I'd rather be told the truth. You're going to have to detox. And most of our channel viewers are quite comfortable with that. But anything else that's popping in terms, because it seems pretty epoch ending. And pretty downward orientated.
Well, the things what we do, we do all the European markets. We do the S&P, NASDAQ, FANG. Then we do the VIX. We don't usually go short S&P. We go long the VIX. Most people don't know how it is, but it's not so complicated. And then we do corn, wheat, soya beans, all that stuff. We do the yen. We do the Australian dollar. We do the Canadian dollar for people in Canada. We do the Bitcoin, we do the Ethereum. There's a whole bunch, and there's always something that is very promising. It just needs some work. You have to be a little more active than you were before, and maybe buy a small book. Most people never read a book about investing, but even a small book of 50, 60 pages gives you an idea how to approach it.
Yeah, cycle investing. Yen, we're quite bearish. Where do you stand on the macro, the big time frame cycles on the yen? Good, bad, neutral?
The yen looks like it's now around 140. It will go on a year to 180, 190 or so against the dollar.
Yeah. Which means it's worse against gold.
We like the Swiss franc.
Yeah.
Probably because the dollar's okay for now, but it's not going to keep going. Yeah. And, you know, this BRIC situation, people underestimate it because I ask people, why do you buy the real? Well, they're preparing because it becomes part of the big BRIC countries. So yes. Institutions ask me, if we're out of the dollar, where do we go into? That's still a bit unclear. But for now, if they're out of the dollar, they're going to the Swiss franc.
We are actually potentially, if the BRICs are going to have a centralized currency, let's say there's going to be a general one. I don't know whether they'll still maintain their national currencies in the country for South Africans will still trade with rands and Brazilians with reals and Indians with rupees. But I wonder if you will have a situation, and I'm not sure if you remember this. In fact, I'm pretty sure age group-wise you will. In fact, you're probably with Goldman Sachs at the time. Maggie Thatcher put the pound into the ERM too high because she had ego. She wanted to show Britain was back. She said it too strong against the Deutsche Mark. And that was the beginning of the setup for the George Soros, Jim Rogers, Stanley Druckenmiller pound short that they're known for.
And you know how they did it based on my cycles. We worked together at that time.
Oh, interesting.
It's the first time you even mentioned that.
Oh, okay, good. And then
they tried to get their hands, not sort of the people themselves, but the people who worked for them tried to get their hands on the program. So that was the end of it.
So you had one instance and then they wanted to steal it from you. So what did you give them? Give us the lowdown, because many will know that story and we have a big British audience. Was it to the day? Was it to an amount? How far? How did it?
No, all the cycles were in sync. So major move would come down.
And you advised the Soros or the Quantum Fund, I think it was at the time, that your personal opinion was also that the pound would come into great duress during the following.
I don't pretend to be a good person about fundamentals because I'm a medical doctor. The only thing I can tell you for sure is it goes up and down, how much it goes up and when it goes up. And I let other people figure out why it happens. And when it comes together, I'll give you an example. If you have a fund that says, I like it, for instance, IBM. Okay, so they like IBM, but they don't know exactly when to buy IBM. They can buy IBM. But if it takes the market to know, it takes half a year until the market agrees with them, IBM's not going to do anything. So instead of waiting, getting emotional, I tell them exactly which week you buy IBM. So they ask me, can you look at the cycles of IBM? We want to buy it. They figure out their stuff, and I tell them the timing. That's usually how it works.
We have a beautiful trade that we think is going to do exceptionally well. We're very bullish on it. It is a crypto. It's not Ethereum. It's Ripple. No, it's actually not Ripple. It's the XRP token. And I would be curious if you could tell us the cycles. Was the one only? I'm pretty confident that we've got an extreme move coming for that. They are, of course, related to the central bank digital tokens. They're going to be the railways.
Next time we speak, I'll hope to be ready. I'm going to get the date and build the cycles.
That would be amazing. I'd love to hear your opinion on that. I have a feeling that people are wrong, that everyone's waiting this flipping of the market. And what we're actually going to get out of America is that they're going to defend the dollar and you're going to get a rate spike and that you're going to have a final death flurry. So unlike the pound that wandered off quietly into the night and petered out as a dominant currency, I have a feeling that's going to be slightly different, that the dollar might have a super spike and cause problems. And that'll be interest rate driven as part of a debt bond crisis.
And well, that's what before the cycles on the dollar still up, but yeah, it's going to end by later this year because of probably the Brexit situation. But for now, I said it's going to hang around for a week and then it goes up again.
Because we have a similar setup to this XRP setup on, but particularly, and I don't know why this country has given us this ideal setup, the South Korean won. Now, some people have told me they have a lot of leverage in their system there. There's some unique things that they have done in terms of financial engineering. But you have a very good USD Korean won structured setup, and it's more about when. I really assess that it will one of the dollar super spike will be one of the most demonstrable and highest of its nature against the South Korean won, which is unusual. I mean, you would expect someone to say the Turkish lira or something like this, but we have a very, very good structure on the South Korean won. And again, I will show you the chart via the link, and I will remind, let me just share the chart again so that everybody can see it for this recording as well. And that one you might well have data for, because it's a currency. In fact, the Asian crisis was very well flagged. So here's the chart. The whole Asian crisis was very well flagged by this breakout here, and it's a similar pattern. It's the squeezing of volatility into the lows. And then you've got the super move here. What's actually happening is we seem to be setting up again. So let me just wipe that out. We seem to be setting up again for a similar squeeze in volatility where a blow off move. But the timing is, I put it on a couple of times only to take it off because it's a big macro chart. And you don't want to be in too much sooner, but there's a carry cost involved. It moves up and down. You want to get in just before it runs. And let me just take all my lines off because I've done a lot of annotations and work on this chart. So that's the price chart that we've seen. And this is, again, almost a 30-year observation. Ripple and this Korean one, where we could see in our view we just put in pink, a substantial move here.
So what you do is send us an email with exactly what you want us to look at, and I'll start preparing it for next time.
Brilliant. Yes, I'll happily do that. And how should
what we like in longer term is the Norwegian Krone.
Which one do you like? Say again. You like the Norwegian Krone?
And okay.
Yes, I know. It's against the dollar or euro?
Against the dollar, yeah.
And you like it?
But longer term, it's something for a year out. You know, you set it up, but it will come.
So this is devaluation of the krona. That's a bit of an oil bear trade as well, isn't it? Because they've got the oil. They normally do well on oil strength. They had, of course, they weakened immensely. This was the oil price shooting to zero over there. So obviously that could point to a demand destroying event and a reduction in oil or military conflict. Doesn't have to be oil related, maybe, you know, Russia or something. So you feel krona devaluation?
Yeah. It's send me an email. I like to prepare before, you know, I like to be very exact and give you the dates. I take a weekly date so you have it for the next year. And then we follow it out. We follow if it works out.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating. Yeah, I've really enjoyed this, Charles. So before I give you an opportunity to tell people how to engage and give you the websites, in fact, I can share screen. I've got your website out so people can find it and they'll know they're in the right place. Any final comments in terms of cycles and why people should care or anything like that?
Well, it needs, in order to survive this financial situation, you have to put in some energy. And in order to put in energy, you have to know how to approach financial markets. So we have notes and we explain how we do it. And even if you don't sign up after 30 days, you at least have an idea how the professionals approach markets. It's really worthwhile of seeing how it's being done. And then if you like it, you know, if you can sign up, but people don't sign up, at least they will see things that they didn't know existed.
And they'll have an idea when certain markets are set up to be potentially strong, given a huge data base of back testing. Are markets good on Mondays? Are they good this week of the year? Are they good this month of the year? Are they good in winter, summer, etc.? So all the different.
What we work against is the conditioning of people that everybody has this free choice. Markets have the free choice. That's the problem. So I always tell people, write down the dates we have in the future and look if it really happens or not. And then make a decision if the markets move at random or not.
Yeah. And I don't consider them random. The Random Walk Down Wall Street, I think, is one of the worst books ever written and got an immense amount of publicity. Price behavior certainly shows to me that there's real opportunities when there's more likely to be a very dominant event, either upside or downside. And cycle theory does exactly the same. We're on the track.
Mr. Buffett said, I never met an economist who was rich.
He's probably quite right. That's one of the things I will agree with him on. He's probably quite right. So you're on the right website when you come to Charles, as you would, Charles, Nenner, NENNER.com. Grab a free trial with Charles. It's been an interesting discussion on cycles, and I'm going to send you my USD Korean One chart and my Ripple chart to get an idea when we might get our big moves. Thank you so much for coming on. Any final words, Charles?
No, I'll send you an email when I'm ready.
Awesome. Great. And we can do this again at some time in the future as well. Thank you very much, and it's been a great pleasure.
Be well.
Bye-bye for now.